Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You know, when I was 8 months pregnant, and many other women can relate to this, my ankles were swollen, my joints were aching. I was tired, and whenever I entered a room, I immediately marked the locations of the nearest benches and bathrooms. I remember going to the grocery store and thinking that maybe pregnant women should really have access to parking spaces that were close to the front doors, because sometimes that long walk from the back of the parking lot seemed very long. But I would never have argued that pregnant women deserved the same accommodations as someone who's blind, for example. And yet the American Association of Law Schools has been hearing a case over just that issue. Should the Americans with Disabilities Act be expanded to include pregnant workers? Not surprisingly, many of you have thoughts about this. Sarah writes at Facebook, if pregnancy is a disability, and that's not to say there aren't considerable physical limitations when pregnant, then what about the year after pregnancy? I have two small children. I'm certainly sleep deprived. If I drove a delivery truck for a living, I wouldn't be capable of doing my job right now. Listener Jeff Loki writes on Facebook, if you cannot work at 100% efficiency, then you are at least partially disabled, right? And another listener texted this, when will we recognize gifts for what they are? Pregnancy is a gift, not a disability, unless it was involuntary. Well, obviously a topic for debate, but Jeanette Cox, you want to make it a topic for the law. She's associate professor at the University of Dayton School of Law. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
What's the argument for including pregnancy in the protections of the Americans with Disabilities Act?
Well, part of the argument is that the ADA should define disability somewhat differently than we have historically. I think it should define disability not as a defect inherent in a person's body, but as problems that arise when a body has a negative interaction with the way we've built our physical architecture, our workplace culture, our work expectations. And that really allows us to localize the problem of disability in the fact that our work culture and our architecture hasn't been designed for the full range of all human bodies.
That's Jeanette Cox joining us by Skype from D.C. Also with us is Sharon Lerner, author of The War on Moms, On Life in a Family Unfriendly Nation, and a senior fellow at Demos. Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly, we don't have all the protections that we clearly need for pregnancy. Women who are pregnant have a rougher time getting hired in some situations, and sometimes they lose their jobs rather than be put on maternity leave. So maybe this could be a solution to those problems.
Well, you're absolutely right that there is a big problem in terms of discrimination when women are pregnant, even though there was a law passed against this in 1978, the Pregnancy Discrimination Act. So you'd think that would have dealt with all of this, but no, of course. Yeah, there are lots of discrimination. There are lots of accommodations that a lot of things you can't do even during a healthy pregnancy. Potentially, there are some jobs that you can do as well, right? You can't maybe stand up for as long. So I think So I think Jeanette is onto an important problem. I think she's talking about an important problem. I don't think that hers is the right answer to that problem. I think one of the most important things to think about with this issue is that we actually come off a long history of treating pregnancy as a discrimination.
As a disability.
I mean, not necessarily within the law, but for 50 years at least, we were fighting this idea that women couldn't and shouldn't work because they were pregnant. So you had women officially and less officially not supposed to be in the workplace. You know, teachers weren't supposed to be working after 3 months of pregnancy. And so we really had to combat this idea that because women were pregnant, they weren't able to work.
And so let me get Jeanette's answer to this.
Yeah.
Jeanette, what Sharon is saying is that the protections could also bring discrimination with it, that by giving it protection, you're also saying that it needs protection, that women are then incapable of doing their jobs while they're pregnant.
That certainly is a fear, although I think it's somewhat resolved by the new amendments to the ADA. I mean, before the ADA was amended in 2008, it really only was interpreted by courts to cover really severe physical conditions. So I think there was a legitimate fear that putting pregnancy within that umbrella would require us to, trump up the physical effects of pregnancy, revive these ideas that pregnancy is completely incapacitating. But now the ADA covers really minor and relatively common things like the inability to lift repetitively 20 pounds over the course of the day, and even in some circumstances, the inability to lift 50 pounds over the course of the day. So if that type of problem is caused by a physiological condition other than pregnancy, folks get accommodations. And to me, it seems like if anybody experiences that type of difficulty, whether it's caused by pregnancy or by something we consider a disability, we should have the ability for some flexibility in the workplace. So I think that the stigma of disability hopefully ought to be eroding now that the ADA has been expanded to reach such a broad scope of other types of physiological limitations that certainly are completely compatible with work.
But Sharon, you're saying that it hasn't eroded, that we still
not have... entirely, absolutely not. And I guess I think, you know, as I said, I think she's addressing a real problem. But I think that what we need to do is find, you know, let me say that this proposal that she's discussing is not anywhere near widely accepted or even possible. And nobody is really talking about it as
although the American Association of Law Schools
it. It's not actually being proposed in a place that it might come to pass anytime soon. And it doesn't have widespread support, particularly among the feminists and advocates for pregnant people who know the long history of this. So I would say, if not this. Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I can tell you that if we're going to, I bring up the fact that it's not likely to go anywhere as soon as a way of saying, okay, if we're going to address this and we're going to have to amend the law to do it, why not amend the law to say, to make sure that pregnant women get the accommodations they need, but not necessarily in doing so to define pregnancy as a disability.
What's wrong with being disabled? Millions of people are disabled.
And I love, and I love disabled people, everybody, you know, people, of course. Of course. And you can be pregnant and disabled. You can be disabled from being pregnant, I think, in a way that would fit the definition of disabled under the ADA. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but I think that there are ways to – there are going to be ways to
– other ways to do it rather than this. Okay, and that is Sharon Lerner, author of The War on Moms and senior fellow at Demos, and Jeanette Cox, associate professor at the University of Dayton School of Law. Thanks to both of you. We want to continue this conversation about whether or not pregnancy should be included in the number of protected conditions under the Americans with Disabilities Act. And we're joined again by Jeanette Cox, associate professor at the University of Dayton School of Law, who argues this very point, and Sharon Lerner, author of The War on Moms, on Life in a Family Unfriendly Nation. Are you both mothers?
Yes.
I am. Yes.
Okay. So And John Hockenberry's with me. All four of us have some some experience with pregnancy. And Sharon, there's no argument that pregnancy limits what you can do.
Absolutely. No, it's very true. And I think one of the things you see happening, which is really troubling and goes to the problem that Jeanette's trying to address, is that toward the end of pregnancy, a lot of people end up using some of their non-existent, really, leave time for many people because they're really not able to go all the way until the point of birth.
And the 9 months, right?
Yeah, the 9 months. And what you see, we just had these census numbers come out, which are shocking, I think, that show that 10% of working women go back to work within a month. And I think a lot of that is because they use what little time they have before they actually give birth.
Let me read a couple of responses from our listeners here. Glenn in Oklahoma texts to us, no, it's not a disability, though pregnant women might need a little help at the end, as you say, Sharon. But don't they have some rights already? Jeanette, as Sharon indicated, there are some protections for pregnant women. Why are they not enough?
Well, Sharon mentioned the Pregnancy Discrimination Act of 1978, and it ideally is supposed to prevent any discrimination on the basis of pregnancy. And basically what that requires is that if an employer accommodates other workers, it needs to give those same accommodations to women who are pregnant, who have similar physiological need for those common accommodations. Unfortunately, however, courts have given a really miserly interpretation to the pregnancy discrimination in many places. So, for example, one recent case involving a delivery company, a woman who was pregnant in the late stages, requested light duty work. Her doctor said she couldn't continue lifting the very, very heavy packages that she did during the rest of her work time. The delivery company had given an accommodation light duty assignment to people with diabetes and hypertension, but refused to give it to her. And you think this would be a classic thing the Pregnancy Discrimination Act would address, but the court drew this distinction and said, well, actually, the pregnant worker is not covered by the ADA. These other folks are, with diabetes and hypertension, and then was able to effectively get around the Pregnancy Discrimination Act with that type of argument.
Okay, so Sharon, somebody actually used the ADA as an argument to not extend protections to a pregnant woman. Is that an argument in favor of putting pregnancy under the ADA?
Well, again, I want to say that I'm not a lawyer and don't know, but I can tell you that that we come off a long history of viewing it this way, and both with, you know, culturally. And I think that given that we have not come, we're not near actually using the ADA to do this, that there must be another way to make sure that people get, pregnant women get the accommodations and protections they need, you know, and whether this has to do with interpretation or actually amending the law, but without actually defining it as a disability, given the history.
Well, as you say, it's not a serious proposal just yet. It's a topic of discussion and an interesting one. That's Sharon Lerner, author of The War on Moms, On Life in a Family Unfriendly Nation, and Jeanette Cox, associate professor at the University of Dayton School of Law. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.